Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
The research is clear that investing in early childhood programs helps children succeed in school and lead more productive lives, but state lawmakers have been reducing that investment in recent years. Here to talk about the latest research and why North Carolina needs to do more to help children and families is Tracy Zimmerman with the North Carolina Early Childhood Foundation. Well, Tracy, thanks for being with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot of specifics to get into, but overall, where do you think we are in our support of early childhood and pre-K?
North Carolina, I think, is pretty status quo for where we've been for the past few years. What I'd say that we have to remember is we are still ahead of a lot of states. You know, we were a leader in pre-K and in early childhood. And in many ways, we very much still are a leader. We do still put a fair amount of money into our early childhood system. That said, we don't reach nearly enough children. We have a growing birth to five population. We have a growing birth to five population that's living in poverty. And we know that these children in our state will be much better off if they are getting the kind of early experiences that they need well before they start school and certainly into school. And I think that's another place that is important to be thinking about is, you know, the field is really shifting and recognizing that it's birth to eight that is a continuum that we really need to be paying attention to. And so I think there are also some exciting changes that are happening in the K through three world in terms of changes in assessment processes and what that might drive. So we still have a ways to go to making sure we're doing what we need for our children.
It's interesting. I mean, is there any dispute left that investment in early childhood has benefits for children and society? I mean, that seems that case would be closed.
So I think the research is overwhelming on that. I think there are important things to note about it. It has to be high quality programs. It's not just any program. And we also know that we get the most benefit when we do it in a continuum, right? Children are not magically four. They're not magically in kindergarten. They develop in utero and it's a process. And so we have to be supporting that developmental process starting from birth to really get the most out of our investments. And we need to, you know, different children need different things. And so I think there's also a better understanding about making sure that each child is getting what he or she needs to fulfill their potential. But the evidence is overwhelming.
I guess the two efforts in North Carolina that most people are familiar with are NC Pre-K and the Partnership for Children, or Smart Start, which is what most people know about it. Those programs were on the increase in terms of funding, then the recession hit. But unlike many states, North Carolina hasn't reinvested as much to replace that lost funding.
That's correct. We are not back to pre-recession levels in those programs. And in fact, we have in a lot of our early childhood programs, including child care subsidy, which is what helps working parents afford child care, we have taken out some of our state funding and replaced it with federal funding. So the state investment has gone down as well, even in some programs that look like they're evenly funded. So no, we are not back to pre-recession levels. And what's really important about that or worth noting is that not only do we have overwhelming evidence about the benefits of early childhood high-quality programs, we have a lot of good research in North Carolina about our programs. So we know that in counties with greater, I know you've heard this before, with greater investments in Smart Start and pre-K, all of the children in those counties had higher third-grade reading scores, they had higher third-grade math scores, and fewer special ed placements. And in fact, the combination of those two programs reduced special ed placements by about 39%. That has a monetary value. Aside from all the good it is for children, it has a monetary value of savings that we should take note of.
I know you've heard the one criticism that it might be the most common, which is there's a fade-out effect, or that these at some point you help all these kids, and then at some point, whether it's middle school or wherever, the research that if folks claim shows that the benefits aren't long-lasting.
Yeah, so I have two responses to that. One is that when kids start ahead of where they need to start in kindergarten, where one would expect them to start, one does not look earlier to say what went wrong. The question should be, what is happening here that is not maintaining those gains? In fact, there's research about that, too, out of Chicago. The Chicago Parent Child Center they have interventions that looked at just the pre-K years, pre-K plus kindergarten, and all the way through third grade, and different interventions that supported children's development through third grade. Well, no surprise, the ones that went all the way through third grade, those kids had the best benefits, the best outcomes. They were outperforming their peers in Chicago public schools. So we have to look at this continuum is so important, and we need the K through three has a lot of areas for change to make sure that the approach that they are taking with children is developmentally appropriate. I said children weren't, you know, magically born at four. There's not like some switch that happens when they go from pre-K to kindergarten. What they need developmentally is still different than what a sixth grader needs. And there's a lot of great work happening here in terms of formative assessments that are looking at what each individual child needs to tailor instruction. But that's a key piece. So fade out, you have to start looking at what is happening in those K through 3 years that's not maintaining success, rather than why is it fading out. The other piece of that is there's plenty of research that shows when you have a look at life outcomes, and I don't know what parent doesn't say. I think most parents don't go, I want my kid to have the highest third grade reading scores. I think what they want is their kid to be happy and have a job and do well in life. And those benefits, those do not fade out.
Stepping back a second, there's all this emphasis now, Senator Berger and others, a read to achieve to make sure kids can read by the end of the third grade, which everybody thinks is a good idea. And yet we're doing that at the same time that we're not adequately funding the programs that help these kids before they get there. It's an interesting dichotomy.
You're right. The Read to Achieve does shine a very needed spotlight on third grade reading. It is the greatest predictor of future academic and career success. It is a transition point. And the only way we will get to a place where all of our kids are reading at grade level is if we start investing at birth in a variety of ways to make sure that children have those experiences that build a strong foundation for learning. There's no debating the science here that your brain is developing rapidly during those early years, and the wiring is literally being formed. And it can be formed strong or it can be formed weak. And if it's not formed in a strong manner, then you are constantly doing remediation.
One of the other things when we talk to folks, advocates for kids in a variety of forms, is the idea that these kids don't live in a vacuum somewhere in some isolated booth, that they're parts of families that also need help.
Well, that's absolutely right. And it's one of the things that we are talking a lot about at the North Carolina Early Childhood Foundation, that third grade reading really to get there means you actually have to pay attention to the whole child beginning at birth. And whole child means health. It means their family environment. So children need good health. They need supported and supportive families and communities, and they need high quality birth through third grade early learning experiences. Children don't, as you just say, develop in a vacuum, and all of those things are impacting their development.
So what can we do? I mean, what is the strategy to get policymakers and folks who are writing the budgets to realize this?
I think that there's more happening amongst policymakers to start paying attention to the early years in a different way. Four members of the General Assembly formed an early learning caucus this year. It was Senator Jackson, Senator Tart, Representative Horn, and Representative Meyer. And they had great bipartisan attendance in starting to look at these early years. So I think that we're seeing an understanding that this is important and that we need to see the investment and policy follow. Part of the work that we're doing, and we just launched on Friday in partnership with NC Child, the North Carolina Partnership for Children, and Best NC, is bringing together a wide range of diverse folks, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, legislators, philanthropists, to look at what are North Carolina's measures of success. What will put children birth to eight on a pathway to grade level reading based on research? And what is it we want to prioritize and align around? Because the funding is a key piece. So is aligning our practice and policy so that we're all trying to move the same needle forward.
Well, good luck. We'd love to have you back as this effort moves along. Thanks for all you're doing, and we appreciate you being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, the battle facing cities to maintain their power and make their own decisions about their communities. Stay with us.